with Martin Hayes, all the members of Brooklyn Rider, I feel like back when we were in conservatory land, listened to him all the time and went to his shows. It was a musical crush from afar. And at some point we just realized, geez, what if we were to ask him out on a date, basically?
And that's exactly what they did. Violinist Colin Jacobson is one of the founding members of Brooklyn Rider. It's a New York-based string quartet. And when they asked Irish fiddler Martin Hayes out on that date, they ended up collaborating for about 10 years before they finally put out their first recording. It's called The Butterfly, and it's featured this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. I'm talking with Colin Jacobson, violinist and one of the founders of Brooklyn Rider. Thanks for joining me, Colin.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
Brooklyn Rider is known for its creative collaborations, and the one that's featured on your most recent recording, The Butterfly, highlights a really incredible Irish fiddler. And you've been working with Martin Hayes now for, what, about a decade?
Yeah, it's been a long journey with him, yeah.
And what do you most admire about him?
Well, I should say that, you know, collaborations with Brooklyn Rider come about, obviously, different ways. Sometimes it's longstanding relationships with musicians we love, and there's mutual admiration, and we decide to do something. Or sometimes someone cold calls us and says, I want to work with them. And that was the case with, say, Bela Fleck, which was awesome. We're like, oh, Bela Fleck wants to work with us. Yes, we're in. With Martin Hayes, all the members of Brooklyn Rider, I feel like back when we were in conservatory land, listened to him all the time and went to his shows. And there was something about the way he played the fiddle, the inflection and the nuance that was so beautiful and so in opposition in a way to the things that we disliked about the classical training. And so it was a musical crush from afar. And at some point we just realized, geez, what if we were to ask him out on a date, basically? And so we just tried to meet with him backstage and talk to him. And he seemed receptive to the idea of working with a string quartet. And so there was maybe a couple of years of emailing back and forth. And finally, we got him to come out to Minnesota to when we were doing the Stillwater Music Festival for 10 years. And he came and we developed a bunch of rep together about 10 years ago and then added to it over the years. We were with him in Ireland, in Kilkenny, in Bantry, where he runs festivals. And so it was a long build-up and a lot of time spent together, but also a lot of time in between where we were all doing different things before we finally made this album.
So this was actually recorded in 2016, and it's just being released now. Is there any particular reason for that?
Well, I think it's just indicative of how many projects Martin has going on. I mean, he's part of this Irish supergroup, The Gloaming. He continues to tour with his longstanding partnership with Dennis Cahill, the great guitarist. And then he has his own, the Martin Hayes Quartet project that he's done the last 2 years, not to be confused with Martin Hayes and Brooklyn Rider, which is a string quartet. He just is someone who's constantly looking to put, you know, a new spin on Irish traditional music, but totally rooted. I mean, I feel like his inflection is so deeply rooted to County Clare, where he comes from, and his father's band. And but he is looking for ways for this music to live and breathe in different situations. And similarly, Brooklyn Rider has just had a slew of activities over the last 3 years, collaborations, projects. So this was the time when we finally felt like we got to bring this out. It's got to come out into the world.
It's interesting because this was really his first collaboration outside of the world of Irish music. Is that right?
Certainly his first foray into really a classical string quartet, you know, and in background. And I think there was trepidation on both sides. But when we first got together, he just suggested a number of tunes for us to listen to and think about. And I think there's a funny story there in that the title of the album, The Butterfly, is one of the tunes that I arranged for the album. And I had an experience of you know, listening to Martin Hayes for years and learning some tunes by ear. And then particularly when we were going to work together, I listened to the tunes he suggested and learned that, you know, maybe five of them, and went to a session in New York, an Irish traditional session, of which there are, of course, many. And I was having a great time, and people were excited that there was this new person at the session, you know, who was interested in Irish traditional music. And I played the tunes that I knew, and then I was down to the last one, and I said, how about The Butterfly? And there was this collective sigh of, like, why would you ever want to play The Butterfly after you're 6 years old, basically? So I realized that it was the equivalent of, in the classical world where we have chamber music readings, jam sessions, when if you were to say, let's play Eine Kleine Nachtmusik now, you know? But of course, Eine Kleine Nachtmusik is a beautiful piece of music, and of course, The Butterfly is a beautiful tune. And part of what Martin loves doing is excavating both tunes that are not so well known, you know, that have interest for that reason, but also very iconic tunes like The Butterfly that he feels are brought down the rough road of kitsch often because they're so famous, you know. And so he wants to go back to either what is special and beautiful just by simply playing the tune and finding all the emotion and nuance in it, or, I mean, with a string quartet, you can frame these tunes in a way that they've never been heard before, I think. And so after that experience, I thought, well, either I should not arrange that tune, The Butterfly, or I should really put a spin on it. So I enjoyed going down a particular path with that tune. The framing I came to was somewhere between maybe something like Morton Feldman and, I don't know, as it goes, it actually has a certain darkness. There's a little Schubert in there, a little Schnitke. It takes it out of its original context.
You arranged four of the dozen tracks on this recording, and I want to talk about a couple of the others. One is called O'Neill's March, and this just has a wonderful kind of a climax. It just builds and builds, and it's only, you know, three and a half minutes long. Tell me a little bit about that arrangement.
Yeah, well, I think with that one, I was thinking about the work we've done with Kehan Kalhor, another amazing musician, Persian classical fiddler or Comanche player, and what a string quartet can bring to a traditional tune that doesn't go through a lot of key changes in the Western classical sense. And what a quartet, I think, can do is add dimension, layers, texture. You want to provide that new basis, but you don't want to get in the way of the actual tune. And O'Neill's March is one of those other very iconic tunes that Martin says has been dragged through the kitschy dirt too much. And so I wanted to keep it simple. But what Martin does, like Kehan, is he's able to, as you said, in 3 minutes, get into a very particular state of mind that can be ecstatic. I wanted to frame that tune with the knowledge that the way Martin builds and structures the repetitive nature of tunes is that getting into a real particular state of mind.
Malqueen's is another one that you arranged, and this one really reminded me of something the Penguin Cafe Orchestra might do.
That one is a tune that Martin had recorded himself already. So actually, that one I was pretty much extending further the arrangement that he did, because he kind of doubled himself in his in the recording that I heard of him doing that. So, but that one we often end a set with, because it just captures the feeling of being at a session, I think. That was one thing Martin wanted to have, even with a lot of thought to these tunes, like not to lose that session of something spontaneous arising. And so that's what I was going for with that one.
You arranged a reel called P. Joe's Reel. Who is P. Joe?
That's Martin's dad, P. J. Hayes, yeah. So that's I can't remember whether that tune carries his name, even though Martin said he didn't write it. It's always a hard thing to know where these tunes arise and when they're credited to an individual or they're credited to trad or some combo therein. And of course, you know, one note different from this version to that. And is it another name or is it just a variation? So, but anyway, Martin did learn that from his dad. I don't think he had recorded it before. That, and also Martin's own original tune that starts the album, Mahara Mountain. I think is one of the few that is credited to Martin, and apparently he wrote it when he was a teenager, still playing in his dad's band. Kyle Sanna, who did the arrangement for that, made such a beautiful version out of it. And I think it starts the album off really with both framing the tune itself in a beautiful way, but also really playing into the strengths and sonority of a string quartet. I hear, you know, wisps of Debussy in there.
The other newer tune is called Bob and Bernie. Can you tell me about that piece and its author?
Well, I can't tell you about the author. I can tell you that Dana Lynn is the arranger for that, and she's an amazing New York-based violinist who went to Oberlin as a classical player, and she also plays piano and is quite fluent in jazz, but while at Oberlin, she got the Irish trad bug and I think moved to Ireland and, you know, really became immersed in that scene. So she felt like a perfect person to do some of the arrangements on this album with her background both in classical music and Irish traditional music.
There's another one that Kyle Sanna arranged called Ship in Full Sail. This is, these are short pieces, but they're so full and interesting.
For Martin, there is, you know, there's a simplicity. And a humility to what he sees in Irish traditional music, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a whole world, as you said, encapsulated in each of these tunes. And I mean, in live shows, I just love the way he also structures, and we will do this sometimes with him, and structure medleys out of them that really have a sense of building and once again, like working into a state of mind, so that by the end you cannot believe the slow burn that has gotten you from point A, the simple air, for instance, through jigs and slip jigs to finally really cooking on some of the reels. ¶¶
What have you learned from Martin Hayes in terms of perhaps maybe a fiddling style, or maybe it was something else?
Well, there's so many things I've learned from him. His sense of groove, his sense of rhythm, of dance is incredible. And just as a violinist, fiddler, watching how he uses the bow is incredible, because he's able to convey and conjure up so much emotion within like half a centimeter of bow. And, you know, in the classical tradition, you're taught to use your full bow and produce this huge sound for big halls. And I think that has been something that means over the last 150 years, some of the detail and nuance has been lost in classical playing. And to hear Martin do it is to conjure up what I imagine, you know, players might have been doing more in the time of Beethoven or earlier. I mean, obviously, a lot of different aesthetics at play, but a lot of transferable stuff to when you're playing a dance movement in Bach, or just the idea of feel and how you cannot notate feel. You can write accents on a page to show where the stresses are in a dance, but you cannot notate, you cannot codify the incredible feel that Martin produces. And so that's a really useful lesson, that the page, no matter what kind of music you're playing, is a guide, and then you have to internalize it and get it truly in your body. So if it's dancing, it's dancing. If it's singing, it's singing. And much of that happens in the bow. And so I think classical players have a lot to learn from someone like Martin. I mean, conversely, he himself loves and has worked now with someone like Jordi Savall, the great viola da gamba player, and I think he feels he has learned much from Jordi, and I think with the quartet, we've had a wonderful working relationship over these years where it's a continual lab.
That's so interesting, because it becomes such a small world so quickly, doesn't it?
It's true. Well, that's a nice thing music can do, is shrink our world. And, you know, in a way, some of the most precious things about cultures are represented in music, and they're said without words. And I mean, maybe that's cliched, but it's certainly true that it can build bridges.
Martin is considered to be a master storyteller with his instrument, and you've indicated a few things that makes his style unique. Are there other things that help him to be a master storyteller?
Yeah, I agree completely with that statement. That, I guess that is what attracted all of us to him in the first place, is that ability to really tell stories. But I think actually what's interesting is you go to a show of his or you're with him, and the way he speaks is the same as I feel like as he speaks with the violin. It's a mixture of humor, of deep knowledge that seems, you know, rooted to where he is from, but he's also a very worldly guy. So, but he has just a unique way of speaking, and he's very funny. You know, he's a very funny man. Recently, we overlapped in Boston, where we were not working together. Brooklyn Rider was playing the next night. He was playing in a small club, Passim, in Boston. And just, it was him. It wasn't with anyone else. And it was just amazing to listen to him tell the stories behind some of the tunes. And he would diverge and go on tangents and then say, oh, all right, and now back to this reel. And then he'd play it. And it was a continuum, you know, and I just love that.
What was most memorable for you in putting this project together?
I think just looking back at the initial encounter, the encounters, which I said were partly at Stillwater Music Festival at these cabins on Square Lake that have been in my family. So inviting Martin into our world. And then we had a wonderful experience, obviously, being in Ireland with Martin, being in Kilkenny at the festival that he curates in West Cork on the coast there. And, you know, a tune like Port Nabucchi, which is a slow air that comes from islands off the coast, and it's all about fairies. And Martin in his show was talking about, you know, that when you live in a place like that, it is not a stretch to see fairies, to see, you know, where all this rich folklore and myths and legends have developed, because you hear strange sounds, you become aware of nature in a different way. to be able to have him as a guide into kind of a mystical world of sound was very special. I mean, yeah, kind of continual surprising things. I'd say technically the one interesting thing is that, you know, this is like classical training versus Irish traditional training. But in a lot of, you know, my early chamber music coaches would discourage people from either tapping your foot or counting out before starting. And Martin's feet are dancers. I mean, they are stomping away. In fact, in the recording, but he was like, but we don't want to really hear it in the recording. But if you go to a live Martin Hayes show, there is percussion. There is a full-on tap dancer, which is him, and his feet are going, and it feels like his torso and his lower body are two separate things, and his feet are inevitable drummers that will not diverge, but in the course of a tune will often slowly get faster. Whereas then his fiddle, you know, and his bow are their own separate dancer. And so there's this beautiful sense that his feet know where time is, and then he's able to play subtly around that, which gives this amazing sense of feel. It's just very different from how we were trained, and so something that we watch and try to emulate and get on the Martin Hayes Express, basically.
Colin Jacobson and the members of Brooklyn Rider, no speed dating for them. They've had a long-term relationship with fiddler Martin Hayes, and it's resulted in this brand new recording. Special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode of New Classical Tracks. If you're enjoying New Classical Tracks, the best thing that you can do for the show is to tell somebody else about it, help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Elmacher.